Okay, we're continuing in Pirkei Avot, Perek Aleph. We're in the middle of Mishnah 15. Tez Vav. The Mishnah said like this: Shanai Omer. Shanai said, "Asi toyosa keva, make your toya keva set. Emor ma'atva se'abe, say a little, do a lot. Don't talk so much. Have a mekabo, rather." Act. Greet every single person with a pleasant face, pleasant countenance. So last week, or it was a couple of weeks ago before Purim, we were speaking about Asei Toras HaKeva, how, in a certain sense, it just means to make sure that you learn every day. Some of the Mefarshim said that Keva means to internalize it, make it something that's inside you. Rav Nachman said that Keva comes from the Lashon of steel, that you know, some days you have all your sederim and some days you don't. So you have to steal a couple of minutes here, a couple of minutes there. And by doing so, you could grab onto the Torah in a good way.
By stealing
a couple of moments here and there.
Stealing your time.
Stealing time. Yeah. Stealing generally is not such a good thing, but in this context, it's pretty good. Steal time. Right? That's what I think even in English they say, steal a moment. Just steal a moment. Yeah, the famous story with one of the Gedolim said he finished Shas in 5 minutes, right? So they asked him, how did you finish Shas in five minutes?
5 minutes here, 5 minutes there.
So he said, yeah, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. He said whenever he was waiting for someone, this and that.
Waiting for a bus. Waiting for a dance.
Yeah. I think the example he gave was waiting for his wife to go to weddings. I think if I remember correctly, that was the example. He said, every time my wife, we had to go somewhere, you know, I had to wait 5 to 10 minutes. Picked up a Gemara. I met a taxi driver once, going back years ago here, that knew the entire Torah Baal Peh. Could say any pasuk in the Torah, started off for him, and he could finish it off. He wasn't a very religious guy. He was from, I think, maybe. But he knew the whole entire Torah Baal Peh. Mamish, backwards and forwards, every pasuk in the whole Torah. So he said, I'll tell you why. Because he drives a taxi, he walks, you know, drives. So he takes 3 psukim. He has it on a little thing, his dashboard. And every time he's not with a customer, he says the pasuk 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 times. And the next day he goes and takes another 3 psukim, and he's driving for years. So went through the entire Torah, and he memorized the entire Torah. You know, because if you have customers, great. You talk to them, you're quiet, you know, you don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. But, you know, inevitably, I guess, there was some time that he didn't have customers, so he said that he memorized the whole Torah. Anyways, so that was the stuff we were speaking about last week from Asei Toras HaKeva. And then, Emar Ma'atva Asei Harbeh, that was talking about, basically, to try to speak less and do more. We were speaking a little bit about how when it comes to doing learning and things like that, don't make big promises like you're going to finish Shas and you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Keep it small. Rav Nachman, when he told Rav Nosson, a little is also good. It was such a powerful piece of advice to Rav Nosson that Mamish helped him his whole life and helps each and every one of us, that we realize that a little bit is also good. No matter what we're doing, just a little bit learning, a little bit of whatever we're doing. And Mar Ma'at, say you're going to do a little bit, say harbe, in the end you can come to do a lot. That was where we're up to now. The last part of the Mishnah, of this Mishnah, is having Mekabalas Kol Ha'adam Mesever Panim Yafis. A famous line. You gotta greet everyone with a Sever Panim Yafis. Each of these words are actually a little interesting, but the way they normally translate it, with a good, pleasant countenance. Sever Panim Yafis. Panim Yafis is like a beautiful face, and the Sever was, We'll see. A lot of people speak
only
about the Seder. What?
Only men. It's only talking about men.
Oh, you're talking about men.
Right? It's not saying greet each person, is it?
It says having Mikhail, that's Kol Ha'adam. Yeah, I mean, what? Women for women and men for men. What do you mean?
We're supposed to walk down. We're not supposed to be walking up.
Right, that's what I'm saying. When you're
isn't that kind of disrespectful? Say, shalom, Sarah, Marshall. You could be smiling at the ground. You know.
I hear. I mean, the other way would be to be looking at the woman lustfully. So, lustfully, meaning like, wow, hi, you look great today. You know, that's not so great either. So, There must be.
The Rabbi Arush also does look up sometimes.
Yeah.
He just look at like, the person. He looks up.
So, talking about to women or?
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So he's not always walking.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a way to do it that it's respectful and it's not with any anything more than just Sefer Panim Yafos, a nice thing. In general, it's talking about when you're walking down the street, when you see someone, Mekabel is called the Mekabel. Also, some of the Farshim speak about the lashon of Mekabel, that it's talking about you're receiving a person. So it could be even when you're, you know, specifically when you're having a meeting with someone and if someone's coming in to meet you, so then you can give this. But in general, you could just say, you know, the men with the men, the women with the women, and when and if the opposite gender comes into contact, so then it has to be done in the right way, with respect, and yet with the Sefer Panim Yafos also, sure. Right, the Bartanura, he actually brings this point out in relation to guests, which is very interesting. He says that you can bring a guest into your house, and you can, you know, just bring him in and give him like the most, you know, pargiot cooked on a grill, fresh, and the nicest bed, nice everything. But if you're in a lousy mood and you're like, hey, yeah, here, take it, you know, so that guy feels like garbage. And another guy could just bring him in and say, like, I don't really have anything in the cupboard, but here's like a, you know, a Laffy Taffy and a cup of water. But it was such shining light that the guy feels like $1 million. He's like, wow, thank God I ended up here, you know. So it's basically when you have a guest to make sure that you know, shine a smile towards him.
So if somebody knocks on your door asking for a contribution, how do you treat that person?
That would be a great, very good example. Yeah. Macabre, let's call them.
Invite them into your house?
That's already a security issue,
right.
in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's already,
so
you know.
It's okay if he stands there at the doorway.
Yeah, there are those amazing people that take in every single collector at the door. Yeah.
I've seen guys do that.
Right.
I've seen them.
They give them a drink and sit them down, you know.
Exactly. And I asked them. So.
Yeah, it's not that. That's I look at it as a security issue. When you get people coming to your door, you have no idea who they are, what they are. So, in relation to giving them tzedakah, you know, a person could give as much as he could give, you know, if he wants to give a little bit to every person. Yeah?
No, just for them.
Yeah. The Sefer Panim Yafos is l'chol hapachos, at least to give the guy a smile, probably won't harm your security of your home, and, you know, it might make the guy feel good. And that's really what he's talking about. The Breslov Pirkei Avos, the English one, from Breslov Research, he brings down from I don't know who, that Hillel, we know in relation to Hillel and Shammai, Hillel was the kindly one, so to speak, and Shammai was the one that was always more strict. So the fact that our Mishnah brings it down from Shammai is showing that Shammai's strictness didn't come from bad midos, bad character traits. He was a bad chas v'shalom, you know, to even say such a thing. But it looks like that from like learning about him. He was very strict. It stemmed from his deep feelings of seriousness with the Torah. And that's how it translated in his halacha and the way he related to people. But really, he's the one that says that if a Makabalos called him Sefer Panim Yafos, if you would have met Shammai, he would have looked like this shining, smiling person. You know, maybe in his halacha and different things, he would have been stronger. And Alter from Kelm and the Shefa Chaim, I think, is one of the Sanzer Rebbe's, he said that that's why it's specifically attributed to Shammai, because Shammai is the essence of Din. So this is a little deeper. He's saying that Shammai, who is the essence of Din, says that Mechabal has called them Sefer Panim Yafos. You have to greet everyone with a pleasant countenance. That means that it's Mi'ikra Din. Not to think that this is some nice thing. It's actually the din. This is what you have to do. And he says, why? Because your face, he says, both of them say, is public property. It's the Rosh Hashanah Rabban, right? You got always Rosh Hashanah Yachid. You know, it's your house. You can do what you want, so to speak. And you got the Rosh Hashanah Rabban. You can't just leave something damaging in the Rosh Hashanah Rabban. So your face is Rosh Hashanah Rabban. You're walking around. People are seeing you. So you can't just go around damaging people by looking grumpy and grouchy. He says that. Both of these people, they say one of them. It's that one of them says that it damages people's happiness. They see a grouchy person, they also get a little grouchy. The other one says that like it dampers a person's chias. Like a person's walking around with energy, and he sees like a guy that's really like, oh, it dampers a person. Therefore, mi'ikra din, from the strict letter of the law, they say that's why Shammai is saying it. That you should really try with all your might to go with joy in your, at least in your countenance, meaning in the way you hold yourself. I was once at a Shabbos table with Rav Kenick, and there was a guy there that looked really out of it, really sad. So Rav Kenick said, what are you so sad about? He said, no, I'm not sad, I'm just tired. And Shabbos, you're not even look sad. Even if you're not really sad, you're just tired. You have to even make believe like you're happy on Shabbos. He said, you have to, and we'll see that some of the Mefarshim say that's actually the pshat over here in the Mishnah also. You gotta put on a happy face. Doesn't mean necessarily that you're happy. The Pharisee Yisrael, the Yachin, he says that this pleasant greeting should be to everyone, poor, rich, even non-Jews, he says. Why? And he says, every person. He says it's much more important even in your own immediate social circles, and in your friends, your family, people you hang out with. Why? You think, there I could just, be normal. He says even there you have to extend more pleasantness, because by doing so, you get one of the most valuable things, what the Tiferes itself says, one of the most valuable things in the world, which is a friend. And he says a person could have everything in the world, be the richest guy in the world, but if he has no one to really share it with on a deep level of friendship, it's worth almost nothing. And so the Gemara says, oh, you have rusa in mistusa. Either you have a friend, a chavrusa, meaning literally a chavrusa to learn with. It also means someone that you connect to the Torah with. In a certain way, even the Torah, if you're just sitting in a room, hold up, learning the Torah, it's not the same as when you're with another person that you're connecting with. The Torah is so much more alive. And so too, just in general, friendships and life, when you have someone to share it with, it's definitely a much more powerful thing. Therefore, whoever you're hanging out with in the day, you might think, there I'll just be normal there. No, it's even more important to shine a pleasant face, because that creates a situation where everyone likes you and you're in a good friendship situation with everyone else. And the Sosemas, he takes from this, actually, from these same words, and he says the opposite. He says, Makala is called Odom Sivapanayapas, only people that are people. He says, not people that are acting like animals. Therefore, he says that anyone that's mamish, like literally acting like an animal, someone that's not acting human, him you could not mekabel save upon the office. This probably would explain the Gemara with Shammai, right? This guy wanted to, bother Hillel and Shammai, so he came over to them and he asked them, on one foot, can you teach me the whole Judaism? So Hillel said, and Shammai took a metal rod and started chasing him away. Why was he chasing him away? It wasn't acting like a person. He wasn't acting like a human being, just asking and bothering, the Gedolei Hador with stupid questions. So maybe he wasn't treating him as a human being if he wasn't acting like a human being. The Rosh of Issamim is the Rav HaKadosh from Radvil. He says like this. He says, now we're getting into the thing of the Sever Panami office. What does it mean, the Sever Panami office? Sever is like from the Lashon of Svara, of like a thought or a show. So he says that, even includes wicked people. Right? You're walking by some really evil guy or some guy that you know is doing a virus. Also, you could receive him with a smile. But over there, he says that you should just show it externally, with politeness. But you should show also that you don't genuinely approve of his ways. Right? You're going and you're meeting with some guy that's, tattooed all over his body, and you're like, tattoos are, not supposed to do it. So you could show love towards the guy, and you could show him pleasantness, but show it. You don't have to show it on the level where you, as if you're, everything he does is good. Because those things that he's doing, whatever it is, are not good. You have to show in a certain way. This is a hard balance to strike also, but he says that a person could do that. You can show the person externally, that's the lashon of the saver, which means it should seem like the people that he's being pleasant, but not necessarily is he all the way going with the pleasantness. And Rabbi Yitzchak of Vorker, the Vorker Rebbe, Yitzchak of Horka, he extends this and he says that that's what we were getting back to before. He says that Sever means to make people think. They should svara, they should sover, they should think that you're happy. Meaning, even if you're having the worst day in the world, you have to walk around the street now. So don't walk around like all sad and depressed. Make believe like you're having the greatest day of your life and smile. But you feel terrible inside. It doesn't matter. Smile. Because we said before, you have to put on a happy face to other people, not to hurt them. And therefore, b'sever, you should make people think at least that you're happy. I saw this firsthand in a very powerful way from my Rav, from Rav Koenig. A couple of years ago, his wife was involved in a very, very terrible car accident. And she was on the brink of life and death for 2 or 3 weeks. Every hour, they weren't sure. Maybe she'd make it, maybe she wouldn't pass the day. It was mamash, like, very, very close. And Baruch Hashem, she made it in the end, and she's okay. But in that time, one of those weeks, one of his grandsons got engaged in Yerushalayim, and she was in some hospital in the middle of Israel. He lives in Tzfas, and he was coming down from Tzfas to Yerushalayim to attend the engagement. So he stopped by his wife, who was at that time, I don't even know if she was conscious, she was connected to a million machines, and Amish, like, just keeping her alive. And he visited her, and it, supposedly it was a terrible, terrible sight. They had married for 40, 50 years, I don't know, and tons of kids and grandkids. And he saw her, and then he came straight to the engagement party, straight from the hospital. I came in, like, I don't know, a short time after that. And when I walked through the door, he saw me, and he gave me this big smile. Ah, so nice to see you. So I was, like, smiling back. I was so happy. And then I walked closer, and I saw he was really pale, like, deathly pale. And then when I finally came towards him to give him a shalom, I saw that underneath the table his hands were shaking like a leaf, like he's seen a ghost. Because he's seen his wife for 40 years, literally like on the brink of death. And then at that point I just recognized that, wow. Like when I walked through the door, I wouldn't have come closer, I would have said, wow, you know. He made me feel so good, you know, he's so happy. And then when you see it, really, his insides were shaking. He was so shaking. But still, a person's face is a powerful thing, and no matter what you're feeling, we mamish have to try as much as we can just to put on a good face and to you know, listen. There's good and bad with everything in life, you know. There's actors, you know, they're able to do these things. Politicians are able to do these things, and wherever they go, they get up there. When I was in 12th grade, my parents came with us on a visit to Israel, and we were waiting to go to a wedding. We were in the hotel here in Yerushalayim, in the Hilton, and we were all dressed up, and we were waiting to go out to go to a wedding. And in walks Governor George W. Bush, who would be the next president of the United States. And the second, it was his first visit to Israel, and the second he walked through the door, it was like, there was only like 10 people in the lobby, you know, there wasn't a contingency waiting for him. He was like, oh, it's so nice to be here, it's great to see you all. He starts giving hugs and shaking hands, and straight off the bat, like, he saw me, how you doing? Oh, is this your dad? It's so nice. And he was just so smooth, and he's even a good guy, you know, he has some moral values. He was a good president for the Jews. But still, like, I saw then, I was like, wow, like, you know, they're able to just, no matter where they are, to just make as if they're the most pleasant, friendly people. So, you know, Zelumazeth, there's things that you could use. You know, everyone says the internet's terrible, but it has so much Torah, you're right. So whatever it is, if you could use it for good, if you could be an actor a little bit, so practice acting, even when you're not feeling it, to just make believe like you're happy, and it just spreads goodwill and good feelings in the world versus the opposite. And sometimes it actually works that it shoots back at you, you know. A person that that acts in a good and a happy way sometimes actually feels happier in his own self. The Michtav Sofer, he says that the whole Mishnah is really encouraging us to keep and live the Torah in a practical way. What does that mean? So we've said that Asito Asta Keva means that you have to set Torah as a steady practice. But it means also to internalize it, like we've spoken about before, keva, to make it some kviya, some being, something very deep in your heart. Emma ma'atva sehabe means don't, like, you know, just spew so much, but do more, do things, right? Live the Torah. Is also something that he says is very powerful because it can help bring people closer to Hashem. He says this is one of the most important things for doing quote unquote kiruv. When you meet a person and you mekabel him with a happy countenance, so all of a sudden he feels great. He feels like, wow, Torah is a great thing. And you meet a person, just average, so then it doesn't create a good impression on the person. And to end off the Mishnah, the Yalkut HaGershuni, he says a very almost humorous, interesting shot in the Mishnah. He says that a lot of times a Rav or a person is going to think of, specifically a Rav, is going to think of a bunch of interesting, amazing chidushim, novel Torah ideas, right? He says, you better write it down. He says, you have to write them down, because if not, they get forgotten. You get lost. And Hashem's blessing you with a chidush, you have to write it down. So he says, that's what Asei Torah Keva is telling you. In a certain sense, make your Torah permanent, meaning if you write it down, put it into a safe, put it into something like that, it'll stay, it'll be in the world forever. It's going to make the Torah that Hashem's blessing with you permanent. But then the Rav is going to come back and say, you're going to say, but I don't have time. What do? I give classes, I have to meet people, I have to take care of my family, I have to, you know, arrange all my finances, everything. I don't have time to sit there writing down my Torah. So he says, the Mishnah says, Emar Ma'at, speak a little bit less. Give one less class, you know, those four classes that you give every day, give three classes every day. And take that time, Asay Harbeg, and use it to write down your things, which is going to make it Asay, like in the Olam Asiya, instead of just being some speech and some idea in your head, it'll make it Asay, it'll make it something in the real world. Then the Rav comes back, going through the words of the Mishnah itself. The Rav comes back and he says, yeah, fine, I hear what you're saying, I shouldn't give so many classes, but I'm the Rav of a community, and people are coming through my house all the time, and I'm meeting with them, and then I have to actually take them into my home and sometimes give them guests and everything. So what is a Rav expected to do when he meets a person? Expected to give him a nice shot, you know. And you go and the person comes into Rav's house, you know, for a drink. He says, I'll tell you a shot on the Parsha. I'll tell you a nice, cute vart I just heard. And I'm just going to sit and speak about sports. So he says, being that that's the case, I'm always looking for a new pshat, a new thing, a new vort to give over. So on this, the Mishnah ends off and says, and having the Kabbalah, Eskola, the Messiah upon me offer. He says, smiling and greeting your guests with a nice smile can do a lot more than just sitting there and say, you want to hear a vart? You know, guys all tired and weary. You're like, you want to hear a vart? You want to hear a shot in the Parsha? Like, no, just smile and say, hello, here you are. I remember once I went, when I wasn't so, quote unquote, so into the learning, my Rebbe from Yeshiva here invited me to his house for Shabbos, and I was so paranoid, like I was going to spend 13 hours of, like, you know, mandatory learning the whole Shabbos. Sure enough, he just literally brought me in and smiled to me the whole Shabbos. He didn't ask me to learn 1 minute in the entire Shabbos from 26 hours I had in his house. Not 1 minute. Not only that, he just, whenever I wanted to go to sleep, whenever I wanted to do anything, sure, and just gave me food and drink. And then in the afternoon, he said, let's take a walk. And he just took a walk around his community with me, speaking, you know, just in general about the communities and life a little bit. And that was it. And he was just so shining his countenance that it was something that literally gave me a lot more than some vart in the Parsha could have given. So from all this, you see that we have to make the Torah real, and we have to keep it, and smiling at people and at yourself even, a very powerful thing. Hashem should help us see good things. Hashem Zakeinu. Shukoyach, guys. And after this is Pesach. I'm going back to the States now for...